WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Monday morning. In just a bit, we're going to be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. We'll take your calls with him at 508-996-0500. But before that, I want to remind everybody that with the heat and the humidity being as insufferable as they're going to be for the next couple of days, the city wants you to know that there are some places for you to cool off if you don't have a place where you can go with air conditioning. That being, first and foremost, the city library branches, they're going to be open. The main branch is going to be open until 9 p.m. And then you're going to have the other branches open until 8 p.m. on Tuesday. Because Tuesday is supposed to be the hottest day and the most insufferable. And then we've also got the beaches with extended lifeguard coverage. So the lifeguards will be on duty until 7 p.m. today and tomorrow. So if you need to get down to the beach and cool off, you can stay there a little bit later and stay outside and in the water a little bit longer. And then in addition, there are also splash pads located at a number of city parks. Riverside Park, Brooklawn Park, Ashley Park, Klasky Common, Beauregard Pina, Harrington Park, Magna Park, Penrose, and Monty's Park. So those are places we can go to bring the kids to cool down. And, you know, if you got to run through it yourself, you can do that too. Just don't, you know, don't obviously take up all the time from the kids. But again, too, also go shopping. You know, go to the mall. Walk around the mall. There's benches to sit down in the mall if you need to just get out of the heat for a little while. But of course, you know, don't loiter. Also, you can go to the movies. That's a great way to beat the heat. Tomorrow, I don't know if they still do Bargain Tuesdays. I think they do. Where I don't know what a bargain is now at the movies, but I know you can get movie prices for a little bit cheaper on Tuesdays, so maybe that gets you in. Or you can do what I do and get that monthly subscription. You can go see three movies back to back and spend 7-8 hours in the air conditioning tomorrow. And those nice, comfy, reclining chairs. So a lot of different ways, you know, sometimes you got to get a little bit creative, but there's lots of ways to be able to beat the heat, especially where we are looking at a heat index of over 100 degrees tomorrow. Going to be the hottest day in years around here. Well, the hottest, you know, June day. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, too, is we are just getting started when it comes to the summer. Literally, just got started. Summer only started a couple of days ago, so we could get more of this kind of weather. Let's take a call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I don't know if you can help me. I have busted my head this morning. You know, isn't there a true value over the bridge in Fair Haven, a new one?
Yeah. Didn't it move into the building next to it?
Right, or something like that. I've been trying to figure out the phone number. I have looked online, you name it, and I'm trying to figure out what is the correct name so I can call them.
Hmm.
And I cannot find it for the life of me.
We'll see if I can get you a number.
Crazy.
Well, let's see. According to this, it is not open. According to the internet.
Unless it closed down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they just didn't get the new, if they don't have the new number up there.
Maybe I'll just have to take a ride.
Well, someone listening might know too.
All right, thank you. You have a great day, and everybody be safe out there.
You as well.
Thank you.
All right, we are joined now by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing all right. Is it already gross out there?
Oh, yes, getting warm.
Yeah, we just got to deal with it, and then by Wednesday night, Thursday, it should feel a little bit better.
Yeah, well, at least we have beautiful beaches to enjoy it at, and that helps cool off a bit.
And we're going to have later lifeguards for the next 2 days there,
yes,
too. So that helps.
Nice. And we have our cooling stations for other individuals who want to just get a break from the heat. So we have a number of those options that we're just...
I'm going to have you just pull that mic a little bit closer because we got the fan behind you. I don't want to be picking up too much of the fan. So, of course, the budget discussion continues.
Yes, tonight is our infamous cut night, depending on who you ask, I suppose. So that will, again, be tonight, beginning at 7 p.m. in the council chamber. Of course, it's open to the public. You'd be surprised how often people ask me, oh, can anyone attend these meetings? So open to the general public if you'd like to come and attend and hang out with us, depending on how late it goes. Otherwise, you can watch it live. On the city website, there's a meetings link, and you can watch it from the comfort of your own home. So there's no telling how late we'll be there. Sometimes you have certain years where we're all somewhat on the same page when it comes to certain services or certain departments and certain enhancements in the budget. And then other years, there's a broader discussion and somewhat... challenges on which particular areas we want to whittle down. So it will be interesting, really, to see what areas go on a little longer than others.
Well, I mean, let's just, I mean, this might be hard to judge, but let's just say that there was no discussion or debate at all on any of the items, and you're able to just go through it. Like, what would you think the time period would be just to get through the budget and do the necessary
work? If we just voted and said yes or no on each of the cuts?
Mm-hmm. It's because it's still going to take a good amount of time either way.
Yeah, I think the voting aspect actually is the quickest part. It's really the speeches that are the lengthier aspect of it, mainly because you have people who want to obviously justify why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other individuals that want to justify why we should keep it. So you have, on both ends of it. That's a really good, so I guess I'll use last year for an example. I believe we were there for a little over 5 hours, if I remember correctly. I would say that maybe a good, because then we also take a break. There are little increments where we take a break to add up how much we've cut so far, where we are in particular line items. With a certain voting, I would say about maybe 2 hours of just voting, 2 or 3 hours of voting. And then the other half of it would be people speaking and defending or asking questions on whether or not we could do this, or, and then also the recess breaks that we take to either go to the bathroom or to get a total where we add up what we've cut so far.
Knock back a monster or a 5 hour energy or something. So, and it really is, it's the night that, takes the most out of you, but it's also the most important night of the year, really.
Yes. In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I often remark that this is really the most important time of the year for, taxpayers, because this is where we're really deciding the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But I also remind people, too, that the mayor can come back to us to appropriate more funds all the way up until December, essentially, because we don't set the tax rate until December's tax classification. So we can cut tonight. And essentially, if, somewhere down the line something happens, we've had in the past where the trash contract, for example, it turns out we ended up collecting more trash than anticipated. We need to add more funds to that. Other areas where we might have cut more than we should have. And so we've gone back, we might have corrected certain areas. So that's why I caution to say, some people will say, well, tonight we're setting the tax rate. That's not necessarily true, but we'll get very close to hopefully setting that tax rate. Or we've had in the past, for example, some of my colleagues have cut certain areas, and then the administration comes back to ask us to restore it, and they'll vote to restore it. We've tried to get away from that. Last year, I think, was the first time that we sent a clear message to the administration that when we say we don't want something, we don't want it. And I think that they're finally catching on. I feel, for example, speaking with CFO Bob Ekstrom and the finance team, they're a lot more respectful to the council in terms of a clear understanding that when we're telling you these particular city services can handle X, Y, and Z, or, you know, that we don't need these particular enhancements. I think we talked in the past about particulars when we're talking about brand new lease vehicles or, you know, new positions. Right now, let's fill the positions that we have that are vacant. Those type of situations, you know, because we often are criticized by the mayor that we, you know, we're just cutting things and, you know, we have no actual justification for it. And, you know, we don't really care. And, you know, all these things that aren't true. And the truth of the matter is, we have been very clear and very vocal about the things that we don't want, and they've just been disregarded. And I think last year was probably one of the first years that we, you know, really stuck together to send a clear message that, no, we've told you this is what the people of New Bedford want. We don't want enhancements. We don't want new positions. We don't want to add on, especially, you know, for example, the mayor keeps bringing back the issue around health insurance and pension concerns, but then wants to continue to add to the burden of that by adding more people to that burden. And we're just saying, first of all, we have an issue where we're having difficulty not only filling the vacant positions, but trying to retain the people that are in the position. So let's work on just that issue. But you want to add, and not just any positions, but particularly high paying positions like the, I'm trying to remember what the title was, the chief of innovation. I forget the long title that they had, but essentially the innovation officer. That was almost nearly a $100,000 salary position, a Unit C employee. So, you know, these are the type of positions he's trying to add to this budget, and all these other random, you know, enhancements, whether it's new vehicles. And not to say that these department heads don't need new gadgets or gizmos and they don't deserve nice new things. But when we're looking at a strained budget where people are crying out for tax relief, we really should be looking at areas where we can say, okay, hold on, maybe this year we don't need X, Y, and Z. So I think this council has done a very good job at looking through the budget and finding areas where we can cut back.
And once a position, so you talked about some of the vacant positions that haven't been filled, and I know some of them haven't been filled in a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the, you know, the private sector, the real world, as they say, if you have a position that doesn't get filled for a year, 2 years, and people have learned how to do the work of the person that's in that position just goes away. Like, mm-hmm. they just take that off the books and say, forget it. Is there any of that that goes on in some of your discussions where you say, hey, maybe we don't need this position since it's been empty for so long?
Yes, sometimes that is a part of the budget discussion. But the other part of it, too, that we have to keep in mind is some of the positions that are vacant that we have in city government are sometimes mandated to have, whether by state law. The other aspect of it, too, is some of these positions we are needed to have for safety reasons. Like I think about our Department of Public Infrastructure is one of the biggest culprits, so to speak, when it comes to vacant positions, mainly because some of the positions that we're asking people to do are really underpaid. And so we've tried to correct that. Some of the positions that are vacant are actually union positions. So it really has nothing to do with the city council, has really to do with bargaining agreements that we have no say over. But it's challenging, when it comes to that, especially what the city has, what we found with the last vacancy report that we got for the vacant positions. I'm sure you remember the city did a hiring freeze, or I forget what they called it. They didn't call it a hiring freeze, but they reset essentially the clock. So going back to kind of what you were saying, where they said typically, like, if the position's been vacant for a year, but we were seeing on our report for it, they were using the date after the hiring freeze. So once the hiring freeze was lifted, it was as though, like, that position
became vacant on that day.
On that date. And it's like, well, no, we know that position was vacant well before the hiring freeze was lifted. But yeah, so unfortunately, we can't have that same mentality as a private sector job where we can say, yeah, we're just going to get rid of it, because a number of these positions, whether it's, you know, Department of Public Infrastructure or Department of Facilities and Fleet Management, some of these positions are mandated, or for safety reasons, it's really important to have the number of positions on the job. And so although the position is vacant, there is someone filling the role, whether over time or what have you, filling that role. So someone is in the position. So because I'm just waiting for someone to say, well, if someone's not doing it right now, then obviously, you know.
But then you also run the risk of the person that's doing it doesn't mind doing it for a little while. But then when you have them do it
too
long,
they get burnt out. Yeah.
Then they say, well, what am I doing this for? I'm just going to go work somewhere else.
Or what's happening right now is we have supervisors or other people who are Unit C employees that are mandated to have to just do the over, like they have to work. They're not necessarily getting compensated because they work a salaried position, having to fill in that role because they have to have a certain number of people on. They end up saying, okay, well, I'm not going to work here anymore because, excuse me, because I'm not being compensated properly because I'm doing the work of two people and I'm, because the way their salary is set up, I'm not going to get paid for that.
And then that position is going to become harder to fill because nobody's going to want to take that job knowing that they've got to do this extra work too.
Correct. And I think we had somewhat of this discussion too around, I think it was the superintendent of water for our city. Not to say the superintendent water position is working 17 different jobs, but just the broader discussion around what we're paying our Unit C employees versus some of our union employees and have you. I think we're going to continue having a discussion about the equity in pay versus some of the surrounding towns, whether it be Dartmouth or Fairhaven or even Acushnet. Some of the comparable jobs that we're seeing, people are saying, well, I'd rather go work for a smaller town where the risk or even responsibilities are far less than what the city's responsibilities are, and they're going to pay me a lot more. So a lot of those discussions do come about as, I don't want to say excuses, but when we are going to the, you know, whether it's the commissioner of DPI or our director of DFFM, when we're asking them, specific, like, why are you having such a hard time filling this? The other aspect of it, too, is some of these, AFSCME's positions, they require particular licenses. Well, and we're working on changing certain aspects of it. You know, there was one position I'm trying to remember now where it required them to have a CDL license. And they're really not driving the truck. I think it was like someone it was a maintenance person working on a vehicle, but just on the off chance that they would have to move the truck to go work on it somewhere else, they would need a CDL license just to move the truck. And we even asked, like, well, even if it's on a private, like our lot, but because we're technically a public facility and we receive, people can drive on the public road to drop off, people drop off deliveries, it's considered a public road, they would have to have a license. So we're trying to find ways around it where we can reclassify, whatever the situation may be, where that person, we can hire a mechanic without a CDL license. So because, you know, you're asking someone, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars, but you need to have a CDL license. You need to have this. You need, and it's like, well, you're only going to pay me, what, $17 an hour to have all of those things. So you can't really blame a person with that aspect of you're asking me to have all these qualifications and all these licenses, but you're only going to pay me this much money. So we're working on, I know the directors and commissioners of these different departments are struggling to try to find, even I think I'm just remembering now too, Veterans Affairs was talking about trying to find a van driver, and they've had people apply that don't even have a license to operate a van. So they're having people apply that don't even meet the qualifications. So because that's our other question is, how many people are applying, what's the applications looking like, because we want to know, are people applying, are you even interviewing? But they're not going to interview someone who doesn't even meet the basic qualifications. So, so all of those things are a part of our budget discussions. And they are challenges that I think our directors and commissioners are looking into. And it's something they face every year to try to keep city services running. Either way, I think it's something that we won't solve overnight, but it's definitely something we're continuing to work on.
All right, we're going to take a break here, or we can take your calls with the council president, 508-996-0500. I've also got a question about fireworks coming up and a question from Gilly that I will pose to you as well. For right now, let's take a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
President Trump on Iran. A deadly boat crash in California and strawberries can help your brain.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump appears to be supporting the idea of a possible regime change in Iran. A post on Truth Social yesterday, Trump said, if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change? Earlier yesterday, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said the mission was not and has not been about a regime change. In a separate earlier post, Trump said the damage to three Iranian nuclear sites from the U.S. airstrikes is said to be monumental. He went on to say that there were hits and they were hard and they were accurate. Health experts urging a wider use of weight loss drugs.
The American College of Cardiology says doctors should prescribe GLP-1 drugs earlier and not require patients to first try healthier lifestyle changes. In major trials, these drugs have been shown to reduce cardiovascular events, improve heart failure symptoms, and help manage fatty liver disease, but it's not as easy as it sounds. There are barriers, including limited insurance coverage and supply shortages. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Two people remain missing after a deadly boat accident on Lake Tahoe in California on Saturday. Six of the boat's 10 passengers were killed after the 27-foot boat overturned. The Coast Guard said it happened in the area of D.L. Bliss State Park in South Lake Tahoe. Two other passengers were taken to nearby hospitals and treated for injuries. It's not yet known what caused the boat to overturn, but a storm caused up to 8-foot swells. A security guard shot and killed a gunman at a church in Wayne, Michigan yesterday. Police responded to reports of an active shooter at Cross Point Community Church in suburban Detroit around 11 o'clock yesterday. Officers arrived at the scene and found the suspect dead, one other person wounded in the leg. No other injuries reported, and the motive for the shooting is still unclear. The church had just wrapped up a special service when the gunfire erupted. A study from San Diego State University says eating 4 strawberries a day could improve your cognitive skills. The study followed 35 men and women in their 70s and found that eating 26 grams of freeze-dried strawberry powder made from fresh berries every day for 8 weeks led to better performance on cognitive tests. Researchers said the strawberries also helped lower blood pressure and increased disease-fighting antioxidants in the blood. Study participants also noted weight loss of 1%. Honolulu is once again the most desirable city in the U.S. to live, though it's not even among the top 20 in the world.
The rankings come from the Economist Intelligence Unit's Global Livability Index and are based on several factors, including stability, healthcare, education, and infrastructure. Honolulu tops the U.S. ranking for the 3rd straight year. Atlanta takes 2nd place, while Pittsburgh, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. round out the top 5 in the U.S. Worldwide, Honolulu only ranks 23rd. Copenhagen tops that list worldwide, followed by Vienna, Austria, and Zurich, Switzerland. I'm Scott Carr.
How to Train Your Dragon, once again, on the top of the box office this weekend. The live-action remake of the 2010 animated film brought in $37 million in its 2nd weekend. Meanwhile, the horror film, 28 years later, scared up $30 million in its debut to take 2nd place. And it wasn't great news for Pixar, as their animated studio suffered the worst opening weekend ever with Elio. The film only earned $21 million in its 1st week.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost to the Giants last night in San Francisco, 9-5. Red Sox are back in action in Los Angeles tonight with the Angels at 9:38.
Now, your ABC6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
After a period of morning patchy fog, we will clear to mostly sunny, but it is going to be hot and humid. We're headed to a high near 90, but with the humidity, we'll feel about 5 degrees even hotter. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. We'll likely see some patches of fog. Your low will be in the 70s. And as we start Tuesday, it's going to be the warmest day of the heat trend. Sunny and hot with high temperatures approaching 95, but with the humidity, it will feel even hotter. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And we are talking with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo, taking your calls, 508-996-0500. So the question that Gilly wanted me to ask you, Council President Burgo, is your thoughts on, he's been talking about how the city, the school committee does not get paid for the time that they put in. And obviously now we've got, we'll have a new school committee member for sure, because we have Ross Gray saying that he's not going to run for re-election.
Oh, yeah.
So this has kind of come up in the conversation of, you know, if this was a position where they at least got a stipend for the time that they put in, that maybe you could get some more candidates to be interested in it. Your thoughts on paying the city, the school committee members?
Yeah, this is a question Gilly has asked me before multiple times, and he's not the only one. I've had discussions with other people about it in terms of, really, it's an equity question, because obviously the city council gets compensated as elected officials. The assessors also get compensated. And honestly, I believe the assessors meet less than the school committee do. The school committee meets a lot more and does... Anyway,
and they're required to be at a lot more things.
Yeah. And then the other aspect of it, too, is like when we talk about the licensing board, you know, a commission that is not elected but appointed, that also meets. I forget how much, but we're just discussing this in the city budget. Under the licensing department, they have an appropriation for their stipends that they receive. And the chairman of the licensing board, I believe, receives a little bit more than the other members, if I'm remembering correctly. Definitely a fair question. It's something I've actually discussed with the mayor before, because I know other school committees, I believe Fall River and Brockton, based on my discussions with school committee member Melissa Costa Ortega, she's done some research on it. I believe they receive a stipend of sorts. In terms of the city council doing anything about it, I don't foresee us doing anything about it, at least not right now. I think if anything were to happen, it would have to come from the school committee or the school department if they would like to see compensation for themselves. And I say that mainly because anytime I've seen anyone run for school committee, it hasn't necessarily been because they want funds. And I think that really comes, I think we've had this conversation about pay for public employees, or really be specific here, elected officials, mainly because I don't think anyone who runs for office does it for the compensation. Obviously, it helps take the sting out of it every now and then, especially with what we have to put up with from the general public, from the criticism that we face, the time away from our family, a whole host of things. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to it. I think we'd have to have a broader discussion in terms of what the compensation would look like, how they would receive it. I don't believe it would be something large, like a salary similar to what city council or assessors would receive, but I could foresee a school committee receiving like essentially a stipend similar to what some of our boards or commission receives, since they are acting similar to a board or commission where they just kind of vote on the school budget, essentially, and a superintendent and things like that.
But as you said, it would have to come from them, so they would have to vote to try to get that for themselves, and
correct.
Then it would be up to the council to decide it.
Correct.
And again, you know, that, and so that would come from the school department budget, or that would come from the city budget outside of the school department?
It would come from the school department budget.
Well, I mean, it's already big enough, so what's a few more, $10,000 or $20,000 more or whatever it would cost for. So that's something that's, as you said, you know, would depend on them. So I guess we'd have to poll them, and I don't know if they even want it.
I would put the ball in their court. You know, of course, obviously the question becomes, well, obviously the people that are in it, you know, want to stay, keep it where it is. That, you know, I guess some of the arguments that people have are, well, if we had a stipend, it would encourage more people to want to run for the position. But I, you know, the only thing I would say against that is, it's never been a factor before. Mm-hmm. We've always, you know, obviously this past year, or, you know, obviously it's a 4-year term, but it's staggered, which I think is really interesting. So every two years you do have a school committee race on the ballot. And so I think the last time was probably the first time that I remember that we didn't have, that we had an uncontested school committee race, meaning everyone that ran automatically got in, essentially, because there was only 3 candidates and there were 3 positions. But this year, I don't know. I think there's only been 2 people so far that have pulled, and I imagine I'm not sure what incumbents might be running again. As you pointed out, Ross Grace, who's done an amazing job in his first term. I want to take this opportunity to thank him for his service, not only his service on the school committee, but his public service through his time in the school department. He's a public educator, and the work that he's done for New Bedford Public Schools, and I know that he will continue to do for New Bedford Public Schools, whether or not he has a title. He's always been a community leader. And his family in general, the Grace family, always have continued to do everything with grace, which I've always loved that hashtag, but do it with grace. So I want to thank Ross Grace for all the work that he's done and has championed on the school committee. So with that, I know it will be tough shoes to fill, whoever takes on that new role. Moving forward, though, what I will say is I believe that we should have contested races, whether it's city council, whether it's school committee. I just think it helps broaden the discussion around the work that's being done. Even for myself, I believe in the work that I'm doing on the city council. I welcome people to come and see what's going on, what we're doing, because I believe in the work that we're doing, and I believe the same for school committee. In my tenure, even on the city council, but even before when I was coming up in the city of New Bedford, I have always seen a robust discussion around school committee candidates well before we, obviously, as you know, we've never had compensation for school committee members. It hasn't hindered people from wanting to better our school for our students. So I think you're going to continue to see a fire under people to want to help the students of New Bedford. So I don't necessarily believe that giving them a stipend will necessarily bring people out of the woodworks to want to run. If anything, the people that it would bring out necessarily won't be the people we want to run, because I think if money motivates you, you're not the person I want in office.
Unless the money that's motivating you is, you know, helping to shape the school budget.
Well, yeah, in that regard. But again, any stipend that we would be able to give to the school committee wouldn't be anything glorious anyway. So that's the only thing I wanted to really echo and highlight, is that the people running for office should be motivated to run for office because they have a sense of duty to serve, not necessarily because now it's going to be compensated.
Well, we can't pay you, but what we can do is let you go to any school and have school lunch for every day. That'll save you a lot of money. Let's take a call here, 508-996-0500. You're on with Council President Burgo.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Council President. Billy Fassios.
How's it going?
Good, good. You know, you're talking a lot, but you're not making no sense, to me at least.
I'm glad you clarified that. Okay,
all right. To me, it doesn't make any sense because, you know, when Linda Morad was president, she gave the dog catcher a $50,000 raise, and he's making $100,000. She took it on herself to bring that up.
We don't have any dog catchers, Gilly. We have the director of leash law, I believe you're referring to. And he has a very important job beyond animal control.
We realize that, but that's not the point about what we're talking about, a real important job. You don't think...
Well, I would like you to get to your point instead of trying to defame any of our public employees that do an important job.
I'm not,
I know. I just wanted to let you know I won't allow you to do that on my watch.
I appreciate it. Okay. I appreciate it. I'm being corrected. I appreciate it because, see, I'm one of those folks out here that really don't know nothing.
Oh, okay, good.
You guys are an elected official, and you guys are supposed to know everything. Not everything, but the point is I'm bringing up about the school committee is they're not getting paid, and I think that a city council should speak for their behalf.
Yes.
Like Linda did for the
director of leash law.
So
director of leash law.
Gilly, okay. have you had any conversations with any of the school committee members? Have any of them expressed the desire to be paid?
Yes, all of them.
They've all expressed to you that they want to be paid.
Not just this people, Tim. Not just this people. Okay. You know the people before them. It's just that they're going. You know, he mentioned also Taunton gets paid. Fall River gets paid. You know what I mean? And when Linda brought that up, there was another gentleman, forgot who it was, that got a raise. But she brought it up, at least. That's all I'm saying. They deserve to get paid. They're more important than the leash law person. Okay?
As the council president said, it's got to start with them. So maybe you should have a conversation with them about voting for themselves first.
There's not the point. They can't do that.
Yes, they
can't do that.
Yes.
Okay, now you're for sure, right?
Yes, I spoke with the chairman ex officio of the school committee, which I believe you know is the mayor, Jonathan F. Mitchell. He will have further conversations with the school committee in regards to that.
Well, Tim, since he brought up the mayor, you know, because lately a lot of people are saying that he doesn't know what he's doing. Okay, so I would like, Tim, if you can have Chris on Wednesday when the mayor's there to ask him what he thinks about the school committee getting paid.
I will try to remember to ask him. Call me Wednesday morning and remind me. I'll write it down and leave it on a note.
I'll do that. It's just that I just think the people out there, and then when the city council talked about recalling people, Linda Moran made a statement that only people that have 4-year terms should be recalled. Well, they're an elected body and don't get paid. Okay, they could be recalled, but we can't recall the city council because they got a 2-year term. That's unbelievable.
I'm gonna hold you there because I got to take a break.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
You have a good day. I do got to get this break in. If you want to call in and speak to the council president, you can do that 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. All right, we are wrapping things up with Council President Burgo. And I know, so cut night tonight, that's kind of the big thing on the schedule.
Yes, and then after that, on Thursday, we have our city council meeting on June 26th at 7 p.m. And then we have, obviously, leading up to Cape Verdean Recognition Week. So I hope everyone is excited for all the amazing events that we have. And this year, for the first year, exciting news that this July will be the first July that we recognize as Cabo Verdean Heritage Month in the city of New Bedford. The city council, my colleague Brian Gomes, Council at Large Brian Gomes, and all of my colleagues on the New Bedford City Council, worked with Candida Rose and other members of her Cabo Verdean Heritage Month group to really champion this idea and get it over the threshold. So we'll be recognizing that month this upcoming July. So I'm very excited about that. And really, I just want to acknowledge some of the work that my colleagues did this past week, I should say. You know, Councilor Morad was able to join a celebration dinner for the Grandparents Raising Grandchildren, an organization that's been going strong for over 25 years, which has been led by Brenda Grace. And also this past week, we've had Restaurant Week that Love the Ave has sponsored, which was from June 13th to June 20th. And Ward 2 Councilor Giesta hosted a few meals during that week for a number of our colleagues. And we got to enjoy a lot of the amazing restaurants that we have on Cushion Avenue. And then also Councilors Brian Gomes, Linda Morad, and Sean Oliver were able to attend the swearing-in ceremony for our new officers. And then also a part of our new officers, our new recruits, the New Bedford Police Department for the first time did a citywide tour to help them better connect with the communities they'll serve, which I thought was an amazing idea. We want to thank the SRTA, Southeastern Regional Transit Authority, who donated buses and drove them around all day, and also the HEAL Center. Shantae Paris provided them lunch and hosted them. And counselors Maria Giesta, Linda Morad, Sean Oliver, Ian Abreu, and Ryan Pereira also were a part of that tour for the new recruits to kind of give them the lay of the land of certain areas, to teach them about different communities, different people, different aspects of the city of New Bedford, which I thought was a great highlight. And then we also got to enjoy the Juneteenth flag raising that the Human Rights Commission put on. We had Marcus Coward for the Human Rights Commission who put that on and hosted it. And we had three student speakers led by Elliot Talley, who just graduated. And he's off to Northeastern this year. Looking forward to him graduating, coming back to New Bedford. It was just an exciting week. I would, you know, again, I often say New Bedford has so many amazing things going on at once that I'm fortunate to work with 11, well, I'm one of the 11, so I guess 10 other amazing colleagues that help spread out the workload, so to speak, to be able to attend all these different events, to really make it known that city government is out there supporting all of these different individuals.
All right, let's take our final break, and we'll come back and wrap things up. We'll be back in a few moments.
Right,
wrapping things up with Council President Burgo. Are you heading to work after this?
Yes.
You got the nice new offices, though, right?
Yes, and the air conditioning actually is one of the things I really love about it. But although it's very cold, I often actually have to bring a sweater, which is, on a day like today, I am actually looking forward to.
I'm going to say he's just rubbing it in now because it's not working so well in here. But we will be back with the council president on Monday. Well, I'll be back tomorrow, but he'll be back with us next week. We can talk about how cut night goes. Yes. You might be recovered from the lack of sleep from tonight by then. And of course, anytime that you want to submit questions during the week, you can do that on the WBSM app, and I will ask them on Monday morning. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now. I'll be back tomorrow. Also, don't forget, too, we've got those tickets for you to win to see Shine.